Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll pray over the Word as you're finding that. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for every person here, every person that's logging in online. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will give our attention to Your Word, because it's then when we give our full attention to Your Word, Lord, it's then that it becomes life to us. It's then that it becomes health to our flesh. It's then that we receive the revelation of Your Word. And so we thank You for it today, Father, in the name of Jesus. We attend to Your words today. We open our hearts to Your Word today. And we bind every distraction that would try to draw our minds away in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, and I praise You that You give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. And I thank You, Lord, that Your Word will be sown as a seed today, and I thank You that it will bring forth fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank You for it. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, and they've worked a miracle, a technological miracle. I see my scriptures bright and perfect and the right size on the back wall there from that projector. So thank you. Guys, our resident Georgia Tech engineer, I knew he could do it. Hallelujah. Working on a tight deadline, but he did it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, it says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know, most Christians, you know, if we look out through the body of Christ, most Christians have not awakened to the reality that they've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Paul here writes to the Corinthians and he says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." They were having some problems with sin in the Corinthian church. If you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, there was some sin going on there in the church. And Paul said, if you'll awake to righteousness, then you'll sin not. Amen. And, you know, that's we talked about that last week. Being righteous by faith doesn't mean we can just, okay, since I can't earn righteousness, that means I can live anyway, since God has made me righteous. And that's not what that means at all. When you know that you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus and you're conscious of that and you're living in the consciousness of that, you don't want to sin. And that gives you, there is an empowerment that comes into us to live free from sin when we know that we're righteous.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad, Karen, I'm glad you're with me today.
Amen.
Maybe the rest of the folks will jump on board here before the message is over. Hallelujah. So we need to identify with it. My point is this. We need to identify with and see ourselves as righteous. You know, that's the big thing now in our culture today. What do you identify as? You know, well, I'll tell you what we ought to identify as. We ought to identify as righteous.
Yes.
We ought to see ourselves as righteous. Amen. We need to, as E.W. Kenyon wrote and said, we need to develop a righteousness consciousness. And something's going on with my mic again here. You're going to have to ride that volume probably because I'm going up and down a little bit. But so we need to develop a righteousness consciousness. What does that mean? It means that we need to live conscious of the fact that we have been made righteous.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
See, a lot of Christians just see themselves simply as forgiven sinners.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you were a sinner. You got saved by grace, but you're not just a sinner anymore.
Amen.
See, the work that Jesus did for us in His crucifixion, in His death, in His resurrection, provided more than just forgiveness of sins. Thank God for forgiveness of sin. But if it was just forgiveness of sin, then it would just be over and over and over and over and over again, and we would not be changed. But we know that the new birth should change us.
Amen.
Here's what Paul wrote to the... another thing he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21... It says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Now, the King James, I like the way the King James reads it better here. The King James says that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's really, and I looked at several different translations, the King James really the clear, and I think brings out the meaning the best there, that we might be made. When we say that we might become, they're kind of, people can, you can kind of get the idea, okay, we got to earn it, we got to work toward it, and we might eventually become it. No, we were made the righteousness of God. Amen. And notice this, it says that we might be made the righteousness of who? Come on, wake up. The righteousness of God. Amen. So the righteousness that we've been made is not some knockoff, second-hand, duplicate, third generation. We've been made the very righteousness of God. Amen. Let that soak in. Amen. A great exchange took place. Jesus, it says He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus was perfect, spotless, sinless. But God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So what happened? A great exchange took place. Jesus took our sin, and then He gave us His, God's, righteousness. What a deal. What a deal. What a privilege. What a blessing. Amen. We've been made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I want to go back and take just a few minutes and review what we've talked about. This will be the, as far as I know, the last message in this series. So I want to go back and just reinforce what we've been talking about the last two messages. And that's this. Number one, and you might want to write these things down if you haven't before. Number one, no one can be righteous by keeping the law. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. And what does justified mean? We gave the definition of that. Have I remembered? Declared righteous by God. All right. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be declared righteous in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so the purpose of the law was not to make someone righteous. The purpose of the law was to expose the fact that we're not righteous and we need help being made righteous. We need God's help. Amen? Amen. By the law, by the deeds of the law, by trying to keep the law, nobody's going to be righteous. Nobody's going to be justified in the sight of God. And Paul says the same thing in Galatians. And what he's about to, what we're about to read here in Galatians, Paul is recounting a confrontation that he had with Peter. Because they had been preaching the gospel, Peter as well had been preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were getting saved, not by keeping the law, but by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they go back to Jerusalem, or maybe they're in Antioch. I don't remember. I think they're in Antioch. And some Jews came down, some of the Pharisees that had gotten saved, they came down, and Peter started withdrawing from the Gentiles that had gotten saved. When those Jews came down, Peter said, oh, well, no, I can't associate with them because, you know, we're not supposed to do that. And Paul called out his hypocrisy. He said, wait a minute. He said, you know, we're justified by faith. We're not justified by keeping the law. So he mentions it here in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified or declared righteous by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we. So Paul is talking to Peter. Both of them are Jews, right? He said, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And again, remember, justified is declared righteous by God. So when Paul says, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, he's speaking of himself, he's speaking of his fellow Jews who had become believers, all right? When you think about Paul, before his conversion, he says about himself that he was zealous in keeping the law. He says in Philippians, he says of himself, he says concerning the righteousness which is in the law, that he was blameless. So he was keeping the law, but he realized that that wasn't enough. That still didn't make him righteous. He needed help. Amen. He needed Jesus to make him righteous. Amen? So that's point number one. No one can be righteous by keeping the law. Romans 10, we'll go there. In Romans 10, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel," for the Jews, "is that they may be saved." So he's praying for his fellow Jews. Even though he was sent to the Gentiles, he still loved his people, the Jews. Amen? And he wanted them to be saved. And he, in fact, another place he said, "I have great anguish of heart." And he says in verse number 2 here, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Notice this now. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." And so they're trying to be righteous by keeping the law. They're trying to be righteous by their works. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are in the same boat. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there today, ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish your own. If I can just do enough good, if I can just do better about this, if I can just, you know, try to do this more, then maybe I'll be right, and maybe I'll have God's approval. Then maybe I'll have a standing with God. No, if we're ignorant of God's righteousness, we'll seek to establish our own. But he said, "And they've not submitted to the righteousness of God." So that's what we have to do, is simply submit to the righteousness of God. And what does submit mean? It means to come under the authority of. We need to come under the authority of the righteousness of God. In other words, we need to believe and agree with God and say, "Okay, if you say that you made me righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, I agree with that. And if you say I'm righteous, I believe that I'm righteous, and I say that I'm righteous, and I'm going to live with a righteous consciousness, and I'm going to identify as righteous." Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. And so he says, and then he says in verse 4, in the same passage here, verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." And the New Living says, "Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given." He said, "I came to fulfill the law." Did he do it? He did it. Amen. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Amen, because of what Jesus has done. See, this puts all the glory to Jesus where it belongs. This points all the praise to Jesus where it belongs. And Paul says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. We can't boast and say, "Well, you ought to see how good I've been. Well, you ought to see how righteous I've been." No, all the glory goes to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. That's point number one. Point two, or in review, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. We read this in the first session, Romans 1:16. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Verse 17 says, "For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" Again, let's define just. The just are those who have been made righteous. The just are the righteous. Amen. The righteous, the just, shall live by faith. And so the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Amen. The gospel reveals that we can't be righteous by keeping the law, that we can't be righteous by our works, that we are righteous because of what Jesus did for us. That's the gospel. Amen? All right, verse 21 of Romans 3, he says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. We've been looking at some scriptures in the Old Testament. Paul's making a statement here. He said, this is not just some new idea. It was laced all through the Old Testament that righteousness is by faith, beginning with Abraham. In Genesis 15, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen? So righteousness by faith, not by our works, is woven all through the Old Testament. It was witnessed by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. Then he says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now again, what kind of righteousness has God given us? Yes, he's given us his righteousness. It's not a second, it's not a second rate, a lower degree of righteousness. That is just incredible to think about. That God gave us his very own righteousness. That when we receive that, we are just as righteous as God is. What else can that mean? Well, I don't know about that. But what else can it mean? We've been made the righteousness of God. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ that is to all, it's available to all, and comes on all who believe. That righteousness will come on you when you believe it. Amen? Hallelujah. Point three then, we're made righteous when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So being right with God, having God's approval, that's another definition of righteousness. It means we have God's approval. You know, it's one thing for God to, we all agree, oh yes, God loves me. You know, we agree on that. But boy, sometimes we lose half the crowd when we say, yes, and God approves of you. Yeah, I just lost, oh my goodness, I lost all, everybody but Karen, it looks like this morning. Righteousness means having God's approval. Amen. It means having God's approval. Now, does that mean that God approves of anything and everything that we do? It doesn't mean, but we have his approval. It means we have right standing before him. Yeah. Amen? And again, you know, some of y'all getting nervous because you think, oh boy, pastor's going off the deep end here. You know, well, Paul got accused of that as well. He said, you know, let us do evil that good may come as some slanderously say that we're saying. He said, no, you're misinterpreting. But he preached the gospel of grace and the gospel of righteousness by faith in Christ so strong that it just was too much for some people. Yeah. It was too much for them to take in that we could actually be right with God and have God's approval. We have such a sin consciousness. Amen. But again, we need to have a righteous consciousness. Amen. Now, I'm going to get to what to do when you sin and how to deal with that, okay? We gave you the illustration last week, the beautiful illustration from Dr. Fred Price, where, you know, I told you about the guy that had been, it's an illustration he used, a guy that had been working this dirty job where he had just gotten all filthy and dirty and muddy and greasy and oily, been working all day, I mean, just dirt and grime and everywhere. But he's got some place to go. He's going out on the town, going out for an evening, and he goes. So he comes home and he jumps in the shower and he gets all cleaned up and he gets that brush and he even scrubs the dirt and grease out from under his fingernails. That's when you know he's serious about getting clean. And he did all of that and got all cleaned up, put on nice clean clothes, and he's walking out to his evening. And he walks by the construction site where he was working and where the other shift, the late shift, has come on to work now. And they recognize their coworker, and they said, you know, so-and-so didn't come in for work today. Why don't you come down here and help us? And he's like, there is no way I'm getting back down in that. I'm all cleaned up now. Amen. And that's like sin trying to pull on you and say, hey, why don't you come back and enjoy this with us now? And you, if you're living conscious that you're clean, yep. Oh, I'm just a sinner, I've been forgiven. Yeah, I guess I'll go back down here and sin some more and just get forgiven. If you're conscious that you've been cleaned up and that you're righteous, then you're not going to want to go back down in there. Right. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. So righteousness, being right with God, having God's approval, is not by keeping the law, but by having faith in Jesus Christ. We're made righteous when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Amen. And then number four, righteousness, therefore, is not earned and it's not attained to. It's a gift. The Bible talks about this gift of righteousness here in Romans 5, verse 17. It says, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we receive the gift of righteousness, when we recognize that we're righteous through faith, then we can reign in life. Amen. We can begin to exercise the authority that's ours in Christ. Without a revelation and an understanding of righteousness, then we will never fully and completely exercise the authority that we have in Christ and through the name of Jesus. The devil will always be there saying, yeah, that Jesus' name does that, but not for you. Remember what you did. Remember where you've fallen short. Remember, you're not perfect, so this doesn't apply to you. No, when we're conscious that we're righteous, then we can reign in life. We can exercise our authority in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then number five, being righteous by faith is not an excuse to sin, as we've said, but an empowerment to live free from sin. Amen. But someone may ask the question, well, what happens when I do sin? What happens to my righteousness then? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Amen. So let's talk about maintaining our righteousness. God has given us a means to maintain this righteousness. All right? Now, righteousness doesn't mean that we're incapable of sinning. Knowing that you're righteous and standing in your righteousness, that doesn't mean that you're incapable of sinning. That's why some people get confused. Well, I'm not righteous because I'm still capable of sin, because I still miss it, because I still stumble. No, being righteous doesn't mean that you're incapable of sinning. Righteousness means you have a perfect standing with God that you couldn't attain to by your own efforts. Well, that's worth writing down. I'm going to say it again. Righteousness means you have a perfect standing with God that you could not attain by your own efforts. That's what the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus means. Amen. Doesn't mean that I'm incapable of sinning. And the Apostle John addresses this in his letter in 1 John. And 1 John 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Is it possible for a Christian to walk in darkness? It absolutely is, isn't it? All right? But if we're walking in darkness then, and we say that we're in fellowship with God, then we're lying. Doesn't mean the relationship with God is broken, but it does mean that we're out of fellowship with Him. All right? And so he says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, what's the light? The light is His Word. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119, the entrance of His words gives light. Amen. So if we walk in the light, if we walk in the Word, if we walk in the truth of the Word, the psalmist said, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's also in Psalm 119. So if we walk in the light of His Word as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
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 If we walk in the light of His Word. And then I love what the Amplified adds there. It says, and keeps us cleansed from sin. And there's a keeping work of the blood there as well if we'll walk in the light. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, somebody said, see there, Pastor, we shouldn't be saying that we're righteous. Well, that's two different things. That's two different things. Yes, we should confess and acknowledge and be conscious of that we are righteous, but we also realize that we are capable, still capable of sinning. Right? That's what he's addressing. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we're not capable of sin, he says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All right? And then he says in verse number 9, if we do what? Confess our sin. So when I'm living and walking in righteousness, I stumble, I miss it, I make a bad decision, I get tempted, I fall, what do? I confess my sin. I go to God and I confess my sin. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just, he's righteous, to forgive us our sins. God is righteous in doing it. Again, he's not just sweeping it under the rug. He's already got a payment. And that payment is the blood of Jesus. He's not just sweeping it under the rug. The payment's already been made. God says, okay, yeah, you missed it, but that's already been paid for. Amen. Does that mean we just run right ahead and sin? It's already paid for. No. We go to him and we confess our sin. And he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin, or forgive us our sin, and to do what? Cleanse us from what? How much unrighteousness? So when I miss it, when I stumble and I miss it, then I go to God and I confess my sin. And he forgives me my sin, but not only does he do that, but he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. So what's left then? Oh, when I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness, nothing is left but righteousness. Amen. And I walk on in righteousness. Amen. This is the way we maintain our righteousness. When we sin, we immediately go to God. We confess our sin, amen, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness so that there's only righteousness left, amen. And then he goes on into the next chapter, chapter 2 and verse 1. He says this, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So would that apply just to 1 John, or would that apply to the whole Bible? It apply to the whole Bible. Amen. These things are written to us, and if we'll heed them, if we'll dwell in the Word, he's actually saying another way what he said, if we walk in the light, because his Word is the light. These things I write to you. So if we'll read, I would recommend staying in 1 John. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Amen. Because if we'll take heed to what John has written, he says it right here, if we'll take heed to what he's written in his letter, he said, we'll not sin. I write these things to you that you may not sin. But he realized that we still have the capacity to sin, that we're not all fully grown yet, you know, except for Tom back there. Yeah. But the rest of us, Tom's looking around like, I'm talking to you, Tom. No, we're not all fully grown and developed. Amen. Praise God. And so he says, and if anyone sins, what? We have an advocate with the Father, a defense attorney, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's our advocate, he's our defense attorney with the Father. We confess our sin, the Father forgives us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So that's how we maintain our righteousness. Amen. Now, let's wrap this up. Let's look at some benefits of righteousness. Reed, come on back up if you would. Benefits of righteousness. Let's look at this. What happens? What happens in our lives when we begin to live and identify as righteous? When we begin to really, really acknowledge and really live conscious of the fact that we have right standing with God. In fact, we have God's very own righteousness. What happens? Well, We looked last week at one passage in Romans 5. It says, therefore, being justified, declared righteous by faith, we have what? Peace with God. And in Isaiah, it says, the work of righteousness will be peace. Amen. So there's peace. But let's look at some more here. Number one, if you want to write these down. Number one is this, success in prayer. When you live conscious that you're righteous, then you'll have success in prayer. Would anybody like to have success in prayer? Would you like to have your prayers answered? Would you like for your prayers to be effective? Well, the key foundation for our prayers to be effective is to know that God hears us, and the way to know that God hears us is to know that we're righteous. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on who? The righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers." Amen. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. And so if you acknowledge and recognize and are conscious of the fact that you're righteous, then you know that the eyes of the Lord are on you, and you know that His ears are open to your prayer. You're not going to have to run around and say, "Well, I don't have confidence that I can pray. I better find somebody that's really holy to pray for me." Now, it's not wrong to have other people pray for you and pray with you, but you need to grow to the fact and grow in the understanding that you are righteous where you can pray that prayer. You might not be able to find somebody. They might be busy, and you might not be able to wait. You need to know that you're that righteous person that God's eyes are on and that His ears are open to your prayer. Amen. In James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a who? That'd be a righteous woman to a righteous man, a righteous woman, avails much. The Amplified says, makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Amen. So, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But I want to point something else out here too. Look at the whole thing of what he says here. He says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. And then he calls those same people. He says, hey, you can pray the prayer of a righteous man. He didn't divide the two. So a person that may have to confess a sin can also be a person that can pray the prayer of a righteous man. See, because when you confess your sin, you're cleansed, as John says, from all unrighteousness. Amen? The second thing that we can have and expect from being righteous is divine provision. Psalm 37, verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I've not seen who forsaken? The righteous. The righteous aren't forsaken by God. I said the righteous are not forsaken by God. Hallelujah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Hallelujah. As righteous people, we can expect divine provision. Amen. And then number three is this, divine favor. We can expect divine favor. Psalm 5 and verse 12, for you, O Lord, will bless who?
The righteous.
The righteous. Is he talking to you? Is he talking about you? Huh? Are you one of the righteous? Amen. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Hallelujah. Divine favor, doors opening for you. Good things happening to you. Divine favor. Hallelujah. Because God does that for the righteous. Amen. And then number four, divine guidance and direction. Divine guidance and direction. Psalm 112, verse 4 says, unto the upright. That'd be the righteous, right?
Yeah.
The upright is the same as saying the righteous. Unto the upright or unto the righteous, there arises light in the darkness. What is that? That's direction and that's guidance when things look dark and uncertain. Hallelujah. God will give you direction. God will show you just how to handle it. God will show you just how to respond. God will show you just what to do so you can stay in peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Amen. Are you the upright that qualifies for that? Hallelujah. Because of faith in Jesus. Yes, you are. All right. Number five. Is this deliverance from trouble? Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Oh, when the righteous cry, the Lord hears it. He hears. You ever wonder, well, I wonder if God's listening to my... Well, if you're the righteous and you cry out, the Lord hears. Oh, thank God, He hears. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of half their troubles, but then they're just going to have to get knocked around and beat up. No, and delivers them out of all their troubles. And then two verses later in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We didn't want to hear that one, do we? We don't want to be too quick to claim that one, but yet it's true. Many are the afflictions of the... Why? Well, the devil doesn't like you going around declaring that you're righteous. Oh, you know, if you get a hold of that and you start walking and living righteously, he's going to come after you. He's going to attack you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But don't worry. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Think about Daniel. I mean, you know, he was living and walking in righteousness and righteously before God. And you know, they kept trying to bring him down. They kept trying to take him down. They kept plotting against him. And he just kept ascending and he kept coming back up. And God kept delivering him out of every affliction, out of every trouble. Amen? And this might be closely related to that one, number five, deliverance from trouble. But number six is this, protection from attacks. Protection from attacks. In Isaiah 54 and verse 14, it says, in righteousness you shall be established. We ought to be established. I pray that these messages are helping to establish you in righteousness. In the Word of God, if we'll believe it, if we'll get into it on this subject of righteousness, we can be established in it. In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble those who would attack you, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where's my last page here? I forgot to print it out. Let's keep reading there. Do we have some more verses? All right. Where's my last? I guess I did. Oh, here it is. Maybe it's right here. I found it. All right. Verse 17. No weapon formed against you. The weapon may form, but it won't prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Not by fighting back, but by going and continuing to live in righteousness and just watching God work in your behalf. Hallelujah. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Look at this now. And their righteousness is from me. See, it was revealed in the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God was revealed in the prophets. God tells us right here in one of the prophets, Isaiah, their righteousness is from me. Not their own, not what they can earn, not what they can try to do, but from me. I give them righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have protection from attacks. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is going to fall apart. It's like the Roadrunner and Coyote. Me, me. We're the Roadrunner. Everybody say it with me. Me, me. Well. You got to work on your me, me. All right. Well, he did do another little thing. You know, before he did beep, beep, he would stick his tongue out at the coyote and go, meep, meep. All right, some of y'all need to go back and watch the Roadrunner cartoons. But the coyote, remember the coyote would always get an Acme? It was always from Acme, you know. You know, all these things, you know, he would get these jets, you know, and so he's got these jets on. He's gonna run down the coyote, you know, and he's got these jets that are gonna cause him to go faster than the coyote or the roadrunner, excuse me. And so he's gonna run down the roadrunner, and so you know he lights the jets. And instead of it sending him down the road where the roadrunner's going, he either goes straight up and then you know he gets about 1,000 feet in the air, and then you know the jets, you know, all the jet fuel is over, and he goes through the canyon, and there's a coyote-shaped hole about 20 feet deep in the canyon floor. Things like that would happen to the coyote. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. See, God can use anything in preparing you for whatever He has for you to do. God used Roadrunner cartoons 50 years ago with me in front of my TV set to prepare me for this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The last one is this. Number 7 is this. Boldness. Boldness. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues." Well, example that we looked at Wednesday night, we saw the Syrian army had besieged Samaria, and God caused them to hear a sound. There were only 4 lepers walking across the horizon. God caused them to hear a sound of a mighty army and chariots, and they fled. The Syrian army fled when no one was pursuing. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. When you know that you're righteous, when you're established in righteousness, when you're conscious of the fact that you're righteous, then you can be bold. We can be bold in our witness. We can be bold in our stand for Christ. We can be bold in our stand for righteousness. Hallelujah. And godly principles. And we can be bold in witnessing to others. Praise God. The Jewish, mention this one first. Elijah was bold, wasn't he, when he confronted the prophets of Baal? Remember that? Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal said, "Okay, let's find out who's God. You know, if Jehovah, if the Lord God is God, let's serve Him. If Baal is God, let's serve Him. Let's find out who's God." Hallelujah. We can be bold to demonstrate the truth of the gospel. The Jewish religious leaders noted the boldness of Peter and John. They said, "Wait a minute. They're uneducated and untrained. They've not been through our school. They've not been through Pharisee school and Pharisee training. But they had great boldness." Hallelujah. Why? Because they'd been made right with God through Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we've been made righteous, then we can have boldness for our witness in the world and also boldness before God and in approaching God. Hebrews 10:19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter," where? "The holiest." The holiest. The very presence of God. The place typified in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, the place where only the priest went once a year, and not with his own blood, but with the blood of bulls and goats to make atonement. Day of Atonement's coming up. Jews' Day of Atonement. You know, they brought the red heifers back to Israel. Did you know? Have you heard about that? Yeah. So the ashes of the red heifer were supposed to be offered on the Day of Atonement. And for all these centuries, they've not had those, but they've been breeding them here, I think in Texas. And now they've shipped them over to Israel. Just news on the last few days here. They got the red heifer back. So what does that mean? It means Jesus is coming soon, because that temple is going to be rebuilt. All right. All right. Hallelujah. But we've got boldness to enter the holiest, the very presence of God, not some pattern, not something that's made from the reality, but the very presence of God. We've got boldness to enter the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we're made righteous. So righteousness gives us boldness to enter the very presence of God. And Hebrews 4:16, last one, it says, let us therefore come how? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and that we may find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can have boldness in approaching God. We can come boldly into the holiest. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can obtain some things that way. Hallelujah. Again, it's kind of circles back around to number one, which was success in prayer. We can obtain mercy for ourselves, but for others as well. As an intercessor, you can obtain mercy for other people. Hallelujah. You can. You can obtain mercy, and you can find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Dave and Karen, I want to minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can stay seated there. That's fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And the Spirit of God would say to you, you can come boldly. You can come boldly to the throne of grace in intercession for those things that have troubled you. You can obtain mercy for those individuals that need mercy, for the things that have troubled you. So come boldly to my throne of grace and come in intercession and obtain mercy to turn this situation around and to find grace to help in this time of need. And you'll see it all work out. You'll see that it will all work out. Be not troubled. Be not afraid. Come boldly to my throne of grace in intercession, knowing that you are my righteousness, knowing that you have the capacity to obtain mercy as an intercessor. And let mercy flow in this situation that troubles you now. Let mercy flow throughout it and bring redemption and bring healing and bring restoration. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stay in an attitude of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to